In the first week of Lent, the church always gives us the story of Jesus in the wilderness. And in the second week of Lent, in the readings, we always have the reading of the Transfiguration. And you might ask yourself why that is. Well, one of the reasons is because the church understands that we have the clearest vision of Jesus and we have the closest understanding of who he is when we're in the desert experience. Lent is the time when we symbolically and liturgically identify with the desert or the hardship or the difficulties of life. And the Transfiguration coming right in the middle reminds us of this paradox of our faith, that it is in the dark places, in the difficulties, in the dryness, in the wilderness, confusion, and fear, that we will very often encounter Christ in the most authentic way. There's an old Jewish saying that God comes to us from below, and we must stoop to meet him. God comes to us from below, and we must stoop to meet him. In other words, this paradox that it's in the difficult places that we find the Lord most clearly revealed and we experience him. And I'd like to come back to that at the end of the homily, but before that, I would like to share with you three words about this reading which help to illuminate the reading and help us to understand what is really going on here. And the first word is theophany. A theophany is a theological term for an appearance of God, a revelation of God. And theophanies occur all through the Old Testament. The story of Abraham that we heard read, there was a theophany there at the near sacrifice of Isaac. But the two most famous theophanies and the most important theophanies of the Old Testament are those to Moses and Elijah. And that's why Moses and Elijah are here at the Transfiguration story, because the apostles are experiencing a theophany which is even more important than the ones that appeared to Moses and Elijah. Now, if you remember those two stories, Moses was in the wilderness. He had been brought up in the court of Pharaoh and had everything going for him, but he lost his temper and he killed a man. And he fled for his life into the wilderness, where he became a shepherd. And it was there in the wilderness of Sinai, a harsh and brutal wilderness, that he saw the burning bush. And the bush was aflame, but it was not being consumed. And from the bush he heard the voice saying, from God saying, I am is my name. A beautiful philosophical and theological revelation of who God is. He is the source of existence. He is existence itself. He is I am, the one who is and was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the source of all things. Later on, Moses has another epiphany on the same mountain, in which there's fire and smoke and a blast of trumpets and the cloud of glory, and he receives the Ten Commandments. Elijah goes back to that same mountain, the Mount of Sinai, the Mount of Horeb, and he's also in a wilderness place. He's been faithful to the Lord, and yet he's been persecuted, and the wicked king Ahab and his wife Jezebel are searching to kill Elijah. And Elijah goes into the cave and he hunkers down and hides. And it's there that he has this other beautiful theophany where there's an earthquake, a wind and fire. But it says God was not in the earthquake, wind and fire. Instead, he comes to Elijah in a still small voice, a whisper within. And God reveals himself also, not only as the God of glory and might, but the God of the inner voice, whispering to us. That theophany is also the other important one from the Old Testament, and that's why Moses and Elijah are both here in this story. with Jesus in the middle, it is as if Jesus is saying, I am now the burning bush. I am the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who is the still small voice. I am the one who is the supreme revelation of God to humanity. I am the theophany. The second word in tonight's reading is the word tense. There's this strange thing where Peter is terrified by the vision and he says, Lord, shall we build three tents here? And you're probably wondering, was Peter a Boy Scout? Were they going to set up camp or what? Well, in fact, it goes back to part of the Jewish history. And when you know the history, then it makes sense. Because another thing that Moses did in the desert, when they traveled around from place to place, they took with them a traveling church, a temple, which was called the tabernacle. It was an extravagant and complex tent that they set up for their worship. But in addition to that tent, there was another tent which was called the tent of meeting. And in the tent of meeting, Moses would go in and a cloud would come down over the tent of meeting and he would commune with the Lord. He was there in the Lord's presence. And it says that when he came out of the tent of meeting, his face was so radiant with God's reflected glory that they had to put a veil over his face because he was so bright they couldn't look at him. The tent of meeting therefore goes into the Jewish customs with one of their annual feasts called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Orthodox Jews still do this, the Jewish families will erect a little tent, a little hut, a little oratory, a little prayer place. And they'll build that hut or their little tent outside. I remember seeing a photograph of the Jewish community in New York at the turn of the century. They were living in these vast tenements in the slums, but out on the fire escapes of the slums were these little ramshackle tents that they put up because they were practicing their faith even there. And these little tents or these little tabernacles is where they would go to spend time with the Lord for a period of time of several weeks, like we do during Lent, and they would meet the Lord face to face in their prayer time. And so when Peter says, let us build three tents here, he's saying, let's have a little feast of tabernacles. Let's have some prayer places and stay here for a while. These three tents will be for you and for Moses and Elijah so that this wonderful presence, this wonderful vision can stay here. This image of the tent and the dwelling place of God being a tent also echoes down beautifully into John's gospel. Because in John's gospel at the very beginning, in those beautiful words we read at Christmas, he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the words translated, dwelt among us, can also be translated, he was tabernacled among us, or he pitched his tent among us. And so St. John picks up this image of the tent and uses it for our Lord. It says that our Lord's physical body was like the tent that the glory of God was dwelling in while he was here on earth. And so the first word is the theophany. The second word is the tent. And the third word is transfiguration. Peter says, let's build these three tents and stay here in this glorious place right now. And Jesus says, no, not necessary. And they looked again and suddenly the vision was gone. And it was only Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is saying the transfiguration is complete and now we are going to go back down the mountain and transfigure the world. And you as my disciples will be the new Moses and the new Elijah. And you also will be transfigured and transformed into the image of Christ. That's why the New Testament is full of the language that we will become the sons and daughters of God. The adopted sons and daughters of the Almighty, brothers and sisters of Jesus. that we will be transformed into his likeness, and we will be transfigured as well. The transfiguration also echoes down, of course, like all of the stories in the gospel, into our liturgy. If you come to the 10:30 Mass, you'll know that this temple is filled with clouds of glory because we use incense. And people say, "Why do you use the incense, Father?" And I say, "It helps to keep down the head lice." I said, "No, not really. We use it because it symbolizes the clouds of glory that surrounded the tent of meeting and that filled the temple. And because the Jews used that same incense to remind them of the clouds of glory, of God's presence. Therefore, also, when we come to Mass each time, we remember that here we encounter a theophany. God reveals himself to us. Jesus Christ comes to us, and like the apostles, we can see him and we can be with him on the mountain of glory. There's another detail as well. Did you know on the altar, when we veil the chalice and the host with the veil on the altar, this is the custom in the Catholic faith to veil the glory, to veil the presence, to veil those things which come to us from God. And the veil is put over the chalice in that little way to remind you of a tent, because the Lord is also tabernacled here on this altar, made real for you and me, coming to us here where bread and wine are transfigured to the body and blood of Christ. Amen.